And there's virtually the test match there, the third and final test match over there in the UAE between New Zealand and also Pakistan. And it is 7 for 229, the Kiwis. Kane Williamson starred with the bat. Taylor got a duck. Williamson made 80-odd, just falling short of his century, but a pretty slow, boring old day. 7 for 229 after 90 overs on day one of the third test match in Abu Dhabi, while the Boomers had a comprehensive victory last night against Qatar, as you would imagine, 110, knocking over Qatar 59.
We're going to talk a little bit of racing, TK, with Adam Penn-Gillingham before we get to Adam. Exciting news from Racing New South Wales. They're announcing a couple of new races tomorrow at 10 a.m. We always thought that Peter Vellantis would have something up his sleeve in regards to racing and the competition between New South Wales and Victoria. It's exciting times for racing here in New South Wales. Of course, the Everest is only 2 years old, but yet it's created plenty of interest around the world, and I'm sure the new events that'll be announced tomorrow, the new races, will certainly be just as good. And to tell us a little bit more about that and other racing news is Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Laurie. Morning, TK. How you going, guys?
Yeah, going well, mate. What are you expecting from the news tomorrow about this exciting new couple of races, which is about to be announced in the spring calendar?
Very good question, Laurie. I'm still trying to find out, trying to find the finer details. Like, it's going to be obviously a big announcement tomorrow. As we mentioned yesterday on the program, it's going to be one of those races around that middle distance range. The mile's probably the key for the race at this stage. So looking forward to seeing what Racing New South Wales have come up with for this new concept and where it's going to fit into the calendar and how it's going to be, the concept's sort of going to run. So to be honest, well, details are still a little bit sketchy in my mind at the moment. We know it's on its way. So just waiting to hear the finer details about that, then sort of pour over the concept and see what it's like, and then sort of make a decision about how it's going to progress from there.
Yeah, we'll be broadcasting the announcement live on Sky Sports Radio, and I imagine Sky Thoroughbred Central as well. And, you know, the delicate thing is not affecting your other big superstar races at that time of year. So you've got the Epsom, you've obviously got the Everest. You'd love to see those Everest horses train on. That means you can't really have it too much further than 1,400 metres. And then, of course, if you're going for the Epsom, you don't want to think, well, I'm going to bypass the Epsom. I'll go for, you know, the other, you know, what may well be a mile race 3 weeks later.
Yeah, that's right, TK. I think the placement of this is really crucial. I don't think I want to have something before the Everest, obviously, in the calendar. So
no.
You're going to try and extend the spring a little bit longer in Sydney and further. So we know that the Everest is probably going to be held on Caulfield Cup Day at this stage next year on the same day. And then after that, we're looking at what down in Melbourne, Cox Plate Day, Derby Day.
Yeah, so, you're looking at Cox Plate Day.
Yeah, that's right. So if it extends to Sydney Spring, well, then there'll be obviously mixed opinion, divided opinion about how that's sort of going to work. But as Laurie mentioned on the program yesterday, I think we've all got to be for innovation. We're going to try these new and different concepts to try and get people to the track. And as we've talked about, how often do you see 40,000 people at Ramley like we saw for the Everest this year? That was quite magnificent to have that many
and
people.
It was bad weather.
It's all about trying to get the new generation involved, Adam. And if you get the new generation involved, you've got them there for years to come. You've got the rusted old race car that'll continue to turn up, but you need to be able to tap into the youngsters. And if you can do that, you'll get big crowds, you'll get them spending their money, and that way racing will continue to thrive here in this state. So congratulations to Racing New South Wales, and in particular Peter Vellantis. He's done a terrific job there. What about Damien Oliver, mate? He looks as though he has picked up the ride on Traps for Fools in the Kingston Town Classic.
Yeah, there was much consternation about this, Laurie, yesterday. There was a lot of discussion about who was actually going to ride Trap of Fools. But Darren, we had said to Johnny Allen, you're required in Victoria on the weekend at Pakenham. So Johnny Allen has been the regular rider for Trap of Fools, obviously riding to win the McKinnon Stakes on the final day of the Flemington Carnival. So it means that Damien Oliver has picked up a pretty handy ride in that Kingston Town Classic on the weekend. So Damien also coming off his win in the Winterbottom Stakes on Voodoo Lad, looking for his 116th Group 1 win of his career on the weekend on Saturday. I know Trap of Fools probably going to be the best of the Eastern State horses there with Holy Snow, Iconoclasm, and Mr. Seawolf for Chris Waller. But again, the two locals are going to be extremely hard to beat, Arcadia Queen and Galaxy Star. Obviously, Arcadia Queen was ultra impressive winning the WA Guineas. Galaxy Star winning the Railway Stakes. So we know that Willie Pikes opted to ride the filly over the older mare. So I think those two local horses are going to be extremely hard to beat, but Damien Oliver will be riding Trap for Fools in Kingston Town on the weekend, boys.
Who's looking after coming through up there in Hong Kong?
Yeah, it's a good question, TK. Chris Wallace made a bit of a hit-and-run mission over there yesterday to oversee coming through in track work at Sha Tin there. So We know that he's going to be the sole Australian representative over there at the international meeting at Sha Tin on the weekend. Obviously, with the quarantine restrictions, makes it extremely hard to get Australian horses over there and back in a reasonable time frame. So coming through will be over there. He's going to start big odds in the Hong Kong Mile on the weekend, and he's going to start probably around 50s, 40-1 at this stage behind Beauty Generation. Is the new star horse on the scene over there in Hong Kong, formerly Montaigne, trained by Anthony Cummings in Sydney. But Chris Wallace tried to keep coming through on the fresh side. I think he races better with a bit of space between his runs. So obviously his form tapered off a little bit towards the end of the spring carnival. It's a big ask to take on some of the local horses over there on their own patch at Sha Tin. But coming through will be ridden by Michael Walker in the Hong Kong Mile on Sunday.
Yeah, talking about star horses, what's the latest with Golden Slipper winner Easter Jarb?
Yeah, funny one, this one, Laurie, because she hasn't raced since the Golden Slipper. She had a few still setbacks, missed the entire spring, and the Hawks team have got her back in pre-training. At the moment, going to be a slow build-up, I'd imagine, to the Autumn Carnival. She had a bit of a tie-back operation to try and help with some breathing issues there. So usually it's a bit of a curse of the Golden Slipper winner in recent years. The Golden Slipper winner doesn't usually go on to do too much. I suppose She Will Reign was probably the exception in recent years. But the form out of this year's Golden Slipper has stood up really well with the likes of a Hood, Written By, got Seabrook there as well. So if she can get anywhere near her best again, Esther Jarman, train on as a three-year-old, you'd have to think there's going to be some wins in store for her. But the Hawks have had a bit of a tough time trying to get her back to the track with a few little issues. Hopefully she's set for a decent autumn campaign in 2019.
That's one curse I'd love to get. The Golden Slipper curse.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, we often say that, but the Colts all go to the pad, all go to stud. You know, if they've won, they normally come back and only have one short preparation, then they go back out. But it's a curse I'd love to have. Golden Slipper curse. Good on you, Adam.
Thanks, boys.